Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas on Thursday, June the 16th, and welcome to our commentary. You know, I have a post coming out Friday morning regarding Watergate. You're going to be hearing a lot about Watergate over the next week or so, because it was 50 years ago that Watergate happened, or at least the break-in into the Watergate building happened. The story of Watergate itself did not really develop until the spring of 73, eventually leading to the resignation of President Nixon in August of 74. So there was a, you know, almost 2.5 years, or 2 years a little bit, maybe 2 years and 2 months, between the actual break-in and the resignation of President Nixon, as I say, in August of 74. And then, of course, a month later, the pardon of Richard Nixon. So the story would consume the country for quite some time, but it all started this week. So you're going to be hearing a lot about Watergate and Watergate and Watergate 50 years ago. So I have a post tomorrow talking about that, and we're going to get into more details in a future podcast about Watergate and what it means 50 years later. But let me tell you one thing about Watergate that I hope the Democrats learn. The Watergate Committee, if you go back, and some of us are old enough to remember the televised hearings, if you go back to those hearings, it was nothing compared to this travesty that we're watching now with January the 6th. Back then, you had a Republican group, you had a Democrat group. Each one had the opportunity to invite witnesses, to challenge the witnesses. Each one had a counsel present in their committee, or legal counsel. It was totally different than this. I mean, it was done in a much more serious way, which is why I believe that it was more successful than what we're watching right now. Nobody's watching what they're doing right now. In fact, I think they've lost half of their audience from the first night, and the first night was not that big of an audience despite what we're watching now. But I will tell you, one of the things that happened in that committee, and it was because I think of the fact that they were Republicans and Democrats in that committee able to operate freely. One of the things that happened is that eventually a couple of Republicans, Howard Baker of Tennessee and a congressman from Maine, I think his last name is Cohen. I don't remember his first name. But they were the first two Republicans in that committee who eventually turned on President Nixon and began to ask questions or say things critical about the White House. And that's the way you persuade the American people, by having a fair presentation, as was the case in Watergate. Now, in the article that I'll have tomorrow, I'll talk a little bit about some of the scandals that have happened since Watergate that frankly make Watergate look like a Disney movie, such as, for example, the Obama IRS selectively targeting people for tax returns, or selectively targeting the tax returns of some people. And then, of course, now you have the Biden administration, the Department of Justice, going after parents who simply wanted to express their opinions at school board meetings. And I think the mother of all scandals, the Hillary Clinton campaign, working with friendly reporters, pushing the lie about Donald Trump and Russia collusion. So all of that has happened since, which is what makes, I think, a lot of the public a little bit more skeptical about these scandals like Watergate. But you're going to hear a lot about it over the next few days. And, you know, Watergate was important. I was always critical of President Nixon for not having fired some of his people sooner. Had he done it right away, I think he would have survived Watergate, because there's no evidence whatsoever 50 years later that President Nixon was involved in any of this. But some of his people, unfortunately, were. And he should have fired all of them, but he didn't. And that's what eventually got him in trouble. So Watergate plus 50. You're going to be hearing a lot about Watergate over the next week. You know, I have a post over at the American Thinker today, and it was actually reprinted also in Mexico City over at the website Mexico Pulse News, which is an English website in Mexico City. And I have a post about a very interesting thing that is happening in California, where people in California are actually leaving California and moving to Mexico. Now, they're moving to like the border cities, of course, like Tijuana, for example, across from San Diego. And many of these people are leaving California and moving to Mexico because California is so expensive that they want to be able to pay the rent. So, you know, they're technically working for a California company, but they're living in Mexico. So their expenses are in Mexico, but their salary is in California. And actually, there's a lot more people doing that. In Mexico City, I met some people in financial services who are actually doing that as well. They work from their homes or whatever. So this is, you know, an indication, I think, of just how bad life is getting in California, that people believe that it's better to go to Mexico and find cheaper rent and a cheaper quality of life than staying in California, where unfortunately everything is so expensive. So that article is in my American Thinker post today. Check it out. I think it's really interesting. Another bit of very interesting information is the fact that it is now becoming clear that 2 weeks before January 6th, there were indications that there were going to be problems. Clearly, the people at the Capitol did not take this seriously. We now know that President Trump had offered troops to protect the Capitol. So somebody made the decision that despite all of those people in the streets, the Capitol wouldn't be protected. And that was a very bad decision. And that's what this committee ought to be looking at instead of this hysterical obsession that they have with President Trump. They need to be looking at that because I think that's the missing piece of this whole investigation. Why was the Capitol not protected? That's something that we need to know. We need to know. And so far we don't know because this committee is only interested in getting Trump, which is why the committee, nobody's watching and they've lost all credibility because it's not really an investigation. It's nothing more than we get Trump. We have to get Trump. And that's what it's all about. But I would love to see an investigation and I want to know why the Capitol was not protected. That's a question that nobody seems to have an answer for. There is an answer. And the answer is that somebody decided not to protect the Capitol. And I'd like to know who that was. I mean, I don't know officially who it was. I guess technically, it could have been Speaker Pelosi because she is in charge of the Capitol. It could have been somebody who works for her. It could have been somebody in the Capitol Police Office. I don't know. I'd like to know. Because that decision was crucial to what happened on January the 6th. Had the Capitol been protected, the people would have not been able to break in because they would have been stopped by guards at the door. And those people were not there. Why weren't they there? I think that's a question that the American people need to answer. And there's now evidence, as I said before, that the Capitol knew or had been warned that there could be, you know, let's say rowdy elements among the many, many thousands who were there marching that day. I mean, the overwhelming majority of people that day didn't do anything wrong. But it was those rowdy elements who broke into the Capitol. They're the ones that we should have been protecting the Capitol against, and apparently we were not. I got to tell you something about the latest thing that we're hearing out of the White House. We are now hearing that the White House may discipline those Border Patrol agents on a horse who confronted I think they were Haitian immigrants who were trying to run into the country. Well, first of all, that's their job. Their job is to protect the border. And, you know, they were simply there stopping people who were trying to walk in to the United States, specifically into the city of Del Rio, Texas, which is a small city of about 10,000 people. They don't have, of course, the police force to handle that many people. So these Border Patrol agents on horses were the ones do it. These people didn't do anything wrong. And if the Biden administration wants to understand why the Democrats are losing South Texas to the Republicans, this is exactly why. Many of those Border Patrol people live there. They have families there. In fact, Myra Flores, the lady who just won the election, the special election over at Texas 34, her husband is a Border Patrol agent. And that was one of the reasons that she got involved in politics, because of what was being done to her husband and the way he was being treated by this administration. So I don't know who's giving advice to President Biden. Sometimes I get the feeling that nobody really is, that he's almost like isolated from the day-to-day reality, and there's a bunch of people around him who who are primarily left-wing ideologues who are, you know, framing these debates and framing these policies. But politically speaking, these people are not helping the Democrats when they go after Border Patrol agents who didn't do anything wrong. These men didn't do anything wrong. And yet they go after them. Now, I guess the technical way they're going to go after them right now is by somehow saying that they made some administrative, they're going to punish them administrative violations or something like that. I mean, I guess that's how they're getting around the fact that they didn't do anything wrong. Again, this would be very unwise on the part of the administration to do this. It would be very, very bad publicity for the administration. And I think the Border Patrol agents are going to react in a very angry way, and they should, because they didn't do anything wrong. You know, we often talk about how divided the country is, and the country is divided. And I have to say that I have not seen the country this divided in quite some time, maybe for as long as I can remember. Now, I do remember a little bit of Vietnam and Watergate, but I don't think we were as divided then as we are now. We were divided, but not like this. But once upon a time, we were very divided, and that was back in 1858, and that would make it 164 years ago today, when a man by the name of Abraham Lincoln, who was running for the U.S. Senate in the state of Illinois, his home state of Illinois, gave a speech, and that speech became very well known because of a phrase in the speech about a house divided, and he gave that speech in 1858 when the country, of course, was bitterly divided. And eventually, the irony of all of this, of course, is that the man who gave that speech about the House divided ended up being the president of the United States during the Civil War that started roughly 2.5 years later, or about a month, I guess, after Lincoln was inaugurated. So he saw this coming in 1858. And then, of course, as president, was in the middle of it all during the Civil War. But we remember today one of the great speeches, one of the great lines of American history, and that is the House divided. And a house divided cannot stand. I think that's exactly the line itself. And it was prophetic. It was prophetic on the part of Abraham Lincoln saying that, because a couple of years later, we were in the middle of a civil war that ended up costing 500,000 lives, maybe more, and divided the country in ways that it took a long time to bring the country together. To bring the country together, to say the least. Well, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for listening. On Friday evening, we're going to do a podcast with Barry Castleman, and we're going to look at the overall political situation in the country. And maybe I'll ask Barry a little bit about Watergate, because he was covering that back in the late 60s, 70s, and we'll get his thoughts on Watergate 50 years later. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. And we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.